That was pretty good, wasn't it? So here's what I want you to do. I would want you to talk to each of those four guys following the service today and to say how much you enjoyed it and how much they should do it again. I'm going to put that microphone somewhere else, though, right now. So if you ever want to hear that again, talk to one of those four guys. Yeah, Bailey, that's right. I know we have some guests here today, and I know we have regular tenders today, and so there's a couple of housekeeping things that I want to do before I get into the message, and I believe that you're here on purpose today. First of all, we have a new one with us. Young Jack is with us. Is he sleeping? Can he just be turned this way just a little bit so people can see him for just a moment, maybe hold him up? Morgan and Brittany had a little baby boy, and this is Jack's first time in church today, and so he's doing what some people do during the message, so it works just great. So thanks for being here today, Morgan and Brittany, and congratulations to young Jack. Yeah. Some of you had the privilege of parking on some new asphalt today, and so we have our new parking lot in, and so praise the Lord for that, and maybe we'll expand further someday down the road. We'll see, but I'm glad that we have that here. Thank you, IWU team, for leading us in music today. Maybe you see over many, many news reports of how terrible our young people are and the bad decisions they're making. It's neat for us to have the IWU team here who I believe they're wanting to serve the Lord with all of their heart. And so I encourage you, as Pastor Bradley said, chat with one of them. If you don't remember their names, they won't know your name either. So just go up to them and say, "My name is," and go from there. And here's just a thought. A thought for you is they're not done traveling yet. They're going to be at senior high camp this week. Pray for them as they lead teens in maybe a little different way than what they did up front here. If you're ever with youth, sometimes a little more rocky. So I just encourage you to pray for them this week as they lead our teens, and teens about over 200, I know, that are going to be at senior high camp. And then if one of them sticks out to you and you want to pray for them this year, I bet you they'd let you pray for them this entire year of their school year. Just a thought, maybe you'd want to pray for them. One thing I do want to make mention of as well is we are continuing the search for an assistant pastor. I want to have us as a church hire the right person, and we don't have that person yet. And so I just wanted you to know we haven't hired anybody, and we have some resumes, but we're kind of taking it. We want to take it as slow as possible to get the right guy. And so just please be in prayer for that as we continue to search that and seek that. And also, how many of you made it to Hills Alive yesterday? Anybody make it to Hills Alive? How many of you got wet yesterday? It rained. By the way, the paper says this. The paper says that on average, we're supposed to have 10 inches of rain so far in this year. And it says that we've received 19 inches of rain. And so, wow, God has blessed us with wonderful showers of blessings. So it's good. I want to preach to you today from John chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them to John chapter 2. I'm going to start at verse 12, and I'm going to go through verse 22. The title of the message is A Clean Temple. I'm going to share this a little later on the message, but it's interesting when Jesus is in the temple, and then in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, it says, "Don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit?" So I think there's going to be a correlation that goes about what's happening in the temple and then what should happen in this temple. How many of you are animal people? You would consider yourself an animal person. Raise your hand if you're an animal person. Okay? Very good. Then I might correlate here for just a couple of moments. Some of you are pet people as well. You have pets. Some of you do not. Some of you don't want pets. Some of you are glad that pets are next door. Well, until 2 o'clock in the morning when the dog is barking, you're not excited about that, but you're glad you don't have a pet in your house. Pastor Bradley is an animal and especially a dog guy. Do you like all animals, Pastor Bradley? He's more of a dog guy. So here's the situation. I'm with Pastor Bradley. I think our families are together and we're somewhere and there is somebody with a dog over here somewhere. And you know what Pastor Bradley does? He goes over to the dog and he gets down with the dog and he starts rubbing behind the ears of the dog. And the dog's getting real excited about all this stuff going on because the dog liked that and Pastor Bradley liked. And I'm not necessarily an animal or a pet person, so I let Pastor Bradley do that. And go ahead. And that dog was just loving Pastor Bradley, scratching behind the ears. And he was talking to, some of you are like this. You talk to pets differently. Oh, how you doing? Dude, it's so good to see you. True? Okay, that's fine. Good. Pastor Bradley's parents own a dog kennel. And they can operate and have about 25 dogs at a time. You got to like dogs. You got to like animals in order to do that. Some of us love animals. They are in our houses. They drink out of our toilets. They use the litter box in the same area where we eat. They lie on our beds at night. And if they're not on our beds, then we don't get a good night of sleep. They take up a certain seat on our couch or our chair, and if the pastor comes over to visit, he doesn't want to sit there because either he'll get dog hair or cat hair on him, or the dog or cat will sit on his lap when the pastor comes over. You ever had that situation? If you're an animal person, you're like, don't sit in that chair. That's Daisy's chair, and you don't want to be there. Some of our pets consume our time in taking care of them. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you have ever spent a day at the veterinarian because of an animal that was ill, or you called the veterinarian, or you spent a lot of time at the vet, which is fine. Our animals take of our money, and we enjoy pets. Some of us love zoos, and we love going to zoos and seeing an animal. Some of us love going into the bird cage and hopefully holding on to something, and a bird will come down and fly and eat out of our hand. There's at least one person in our family that we were at the butterfly house, and when the butterfly flew on them, that was not a fun thing for them. And it is a butterfly, but it wasn't a fun thing. I won't point out who that person is because I'll get in trouble. I would venture to say this, though, when I'm talking about animals. The Jewish people were accustomed to animals. Animals were used in their sacrifices. I don't know if you've ever looked through the Old Testament at some of the sacrifices that took place, but let me give you one of them. I'm going to give you two of them. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 21, we see that the Israelites offered a sacrifice of 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs. That's a lot of animals. That's 3,000 animals. You think of having that many animals just to take care of. And they just sacrificed them on that day. But in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 63, we see that Solomon on one day sacrificed 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. That's a lot of animals. Can you imagine that? I mean, 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep when they dedicated the temple. That's a lot of animals. They knew animals. As a reminder, when the earth was flooded, two of every kind of animal went with Noah and his family in the ark. Noah must have had an appreciation for animals, or he grew to like animals for a while, did he not? We don't see ever in the text Noah saying, God, step aside for just a moment here, God. I mean, we could reduce the amount of time that it would take to build this huge and massive ark if I could just have a 3-bedroom ark, all right? I just want a 3-bedroom, and then it would just be much smaller. You could start the rain much sooner, and we wouldn't have to worry about animals at all. But that didn't happen. The animals came onto the ark. Adam was the one who named all the animals. When the Israelites left Egypt, all the livestock went with them. Animals were a part of their culture. So why am I talking about animals? Well, let me create the scene for just a moment. Jesus comes into the temple, and there's a bunch of animals around. The word of God says oxen and sheep and pigeons. I don't think it was unnatural or unusual for that to happen. Now, if I would have brought in an oxen, a sheep, or a pigeon today and said, Indiana Wesleyan praise team, don't mind the oxen. He's just going to be right up here. It's not going to be that big of a deal. Just lead singing. It's no big deal. If a pigeon flies around, don't worry about that pigeon dropping anything because probably won't. And if it does, then maybe, hopefully it doesn't. That's unusual for us, but this is the scene that happened when Jesus walks into the temple. Now, at times we can have a dog or a two in the church. There's been somebody who's brought a dog in before, but imagine the disruption that took place and all that. And so I want you to look at the scripture with me and see what's happening and why Jesus cleanses the temple. Start with me in John chapter 2, verse 12, and I'm going to go through verse 22. If you didn't happen to bring a Bible with you, there's probably one in a chair rack in front of you or behind you, and it's on page 887 in that Bible. After this, he being Jesus, went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Now, if you happen to have a helpful hints Bible, those are Bibles that give you some little correlating passages or some understanding, you will know that this happens, this story is recorded in the book of Matthew, in the book of Mark, and in the book of Luke. It's in Matthew chapter 21, it's in Mark chapter 11, and Luke chapter 19. There's something important that happens, though, in the difference in John than there is in the other three Gospels. In this book, in the book of John, we see it at the right, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, where he comes and he cleans the temple. If you see the other three, you will notice that it happens at the end of Jesus' ministry. Now, there's a couple of questions here. Now, why does John have it recorded early, and why does the other three have it recorded late? Some would say maybe it was the same thing, it's just how they wanted to record it. Some would say that Jesus was saying at the beginning, this is not going to happen, and at the end, he had to come again. Now, the question I have is, if Jesus came at the beginning, and he very well could have, and he cleansed the temple at the beginning, and he had to come later and do it again, don't you think they had figured it out the first time? Why are we doing this again? Don't do this. Jesus said earlier, don't do this. But maybe there's a point there for all of us. Sometimes God tells us not to do something, and we say yes to it, and then we go back to it, and he has to come back and tell us again. We're not sure exactly, but hear this. I think it's that this event is recorded in all four Gospels is important for us to hear. Not every event is recorded in all four Gospels. People were selling animals in the temple. If you look in verse 17, here's what Jesus calls the temple. He calls it my Father's house. I'd like to think that maybe this church would be called my Father's house. And there seems to be something, I think, about the holiness of God's house. That maybe it's set apart then from something else. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say you're here on a Sunday morning, and somebody asks you a point blank question, and you don't really want to answer that question, so you lie about that. Now, how many would you do that? Nobody. Why? You don't lie in church, do you? That's just not the right place to do it, right? I'm not going to lie in church. Hopefully you don't. Then why? But sometimes we can do it outside the church, right? Outside the church. But we wouldn't do it here. Murder. Don't do it inside the church. Outside the church, well, it's not really all that good, but inside the church would be terrible. Sexual immorality. There's a bunch of sexual immorality that happens outside the church walls, but then when you think, oh, it better not happen inside because it's our Father's house. Slander or gossip. We don't want to do that inside the church walls. That's just our Father's house. But sometimes it happens outside. Interesting, isn't it? He says, our Father's house. So what is happening here with these animals? The practice of selling animals was actually not a bad thing. Hear me in this. People were coming from all over for the Passover. Some sources would say that maybe up to 17 possible places, and they needed to have an acceptable animal for the animal sacrifice. They wouldn't bring these animals with them because they couldn't expect the animal to go with them that far and still be acceptable for the sacrifice at hand. And so because of that, it was okay for them to sell animals right there because then they could have an acceptable sacrifice. If they had to walk for a long period of time, then their animal would not be very acceptable for the sacrifice. And they had to have an animal that was unblemished, ready for the sacrifice. Look at it from this point. Let's say that you're supposed to attend an event in Florida. Let's say that you're supposed to go to a wedding. And let's say that you are supposed to provide fresh fruit for that event in Florida. Let's say that you decide you're going to drive to Florida. And let's say that you're going to take your leisurely time to get there. You're not going to be like some of us that like to get in the car and drive straight through and get all the way to Florida. Maybe you're going to stop along the way a couple times. Let's say that you have no, buy the fruit here at Safeway or Family Fair or Walmart or wherever you buy it, or you pick it off the tree. And let's say you don't have any air conditioning and you go all the way to Florida. Now, when you arrive in Florida, what's that fruit going to be like? If it's going with the Selfridge family, it's not going to make it. The Selfridge family will probably eat it by the time we get to Chamberlain or so. So we have a problem there. Some of you would be very careful in protecting it and providing it, but the freshness would not be there. It might get bruised, it might get battered, it might get squashed, and it is probably 3 days off the vine. So what would be better for me to do? It'd probably be better for me to take my wallet with me, keep that right there in my pocket, and when I get to Florida, buy the fruit, and then it's fresh right there. So, here these animals are for sale. Not a bad thing. What was happening, though, is that the money changers were being greedy and they weren't going about it correctly. It's something that started out good, but then it didn't end so well. It is estimated also that there was 2.25 million Jews that would assemble during the Passover. That's a lot of animals. And think of all those animals coming in. hear this quote. Jesus doesn't say that the sellers and money changers are robbers, or that the animals are defective, or that the place is a place of prayer, though it is. He says that they have turned his father's house into a bazaar, into an emporium, into a market. So Jesus comes into the temple. What should be righteous is not. People being taken advantage of. And so Jesus gets angry. Now, I'm reading into the text here. I don't think that you ever see it says that Jesus got angry. However, it seems to me that if he went and he got something and he made a whip of cords, and I don't know how the whip of cords he made was, I think he's a little angry about things. I want you to think of all of these people that are selling all of this stuff and more than just this one little table, and he turned over just more than this, all out on the table. I would have loved to overturn a table and had a wood floor or something and have the changes go ching, ding, ching, 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 because you can just imagine the sound of that. You can imagine of what was happening, and you can imagine the money changer sitting behind their table and Jesus coming and pushing over. What do you think the money changer is doing? They're scuffling around on the floor trying to get their money because this is their money. He got angry. The speed of sound travels at 1,126 foot per second, and the whip breaks the sound barrier. Now, if you look at the text, I personally don't think that Jesus hit anyone. If you look at the test, after making a whip of cords, he drove them all to the temple. I don't think Jesus is one that's getting a whip and he's hitting people. I think maybe the sound, if you've ever been with a whip sound, everybody heard a whip sound before? Man, that's a, whoa, oh, here we go. You don't want to be around that. He was probably also driving the people out and not the animals. Why was Jesus angry? There's another part to this as well. There was a thing called the temple tax. And every male over 19 needed to pay the temple tax. Again, there was probably over 17 possible places coming, and they didn't each have the same coinage. Each brought something different. They had to pay half a shekel, and it had to be a Tyrian. It was a coin of exceptional silver content. So here, all these people are coming in for the Passover, and they're all changing money, and they're all wanting the right money, and the money changers are like, ha, 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 we got you in a good spot here. You can't go anywhere else, and you need to have the temple tax, and you need to pay that. And guess what's going to happen? I'm going to make a little extra money from this. It was said that it was common to make $40,000 out of the worshipers. The closest that I've ever been to this personally is what Lauren and his daughter Kaylee are going to experience here in just a couple of days in Honduras. Some of you have experienced this as well. You go to another country and you bring your greenback with you. You bring your American dollars and they look at you and a lot of times they'll accept it. But if you really want the best, you get what they have in their country. And so when you show up at the airport, they're going to say, exchange your money. You don't have a clue what exchange they should give you. And if they're not very good, if they're evil, they're going to take advantage of you too. So be careful, trust whoever's leading you in that. But that's the closest I've ever come to it. I don't carry around with me pesos or euros or quetzals or gourds or reals or lus or pounds. I don't carry around those with me. Mark and Marianne, welcome back from Germany, by the way. How was your trip? Did they take your American money or did you have to exchange it? You had a card. MasterCard is everywhere? Is that what? But you had to exchange it and you had to trust them. And in the same way, they had to trust them. Some of you are saying, nothing should ever be sold in the church. Some of you have been in churches where nothing is sold in the church. You're like, we can't ever sell anything in the church. Is that what Jesus is actually saying? Maybe the oxen could have been sold outside of the temple. I don't think that that is really what's happening. I think what's happening is the money changers are taking advantage of some people, and Jesus is saying, it's not right. It's not right at all. Sometimes, though, the way to get rid of something is with a whip, maybe a sternness. Again, I don't think that Jesus hit anybody. But think of this. Think of when Jesus came in with his whip, bam, bam, and the money all over. Think of all of the animals in the temple and the disruption that took place. Go back to the oxen. Think of the oxen running around. Think of the sheep running around and baaing. And think of the pigeons. And your version might have said doves. Think of those flying around in the temple. Think of the major disruption that took place. Jesus quotes from Psalm 69, verse 9, "Zeal for your house will consume me." What's Jesus saying about the temple? Here's what he's saying. He's actually saying the temple is not a building, but it is him. It's more than just a physical structure. I'm glad we have a physical structure. I think we have a wonderful church building. But he's saying it's not this, it's me. It's me, Jesus. And I think what he's saying, and I think what he's telling us, is that we need to be godly everywhere. I'm thankful that it's not just right here that we have to be godly, but everywhere. I think, though, sometimes we lose a reference for the church. And hear me in this. I think sometimes we lose the reverence for a church building, but I think sometimes we lose a reverence for the church people. And the church is the body of believers. Let me go back to where I kind of started in the message. And I'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own." Verse 20, "For you were bought at a price. So glorify God in your body." There's something about us being the temple of the Holy Spirit when we leave from this place and when we're here. And Jesus is saying, hey, if you destroy this temple, I'm going to raise it up. There's a neat correlation between this and the veil being torn when Jesus died. Jesus here in this passage is predicting his death, but they don't get it at all. In Colossians 2, verse 9, it says this, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." I want to point out two more interesting things that are kind of hidden in this text. If you go back to verse 11, it's interesting where, and I kind of mentioned this last week, the last part of verse 11 says this, "And his disciples believed in him." Do you see what it says in verse 22 as well? It says, they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, why is this important? John is staying at his task of what he wants to do. And in John chapter 20, this is why the book of John was written. "Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." John staying on task and pointing, do you believe? Do you believe? Animals were so very common in that day and age. They were common with the sacrifices. But what was happening in the temple? They were desecrating the temple. Don't desecrate the temple. Don't desecrate the temple. Don't exchange the wrong amount. When God asks for you to do something with what God has given to you. Jesus says, don't make the Father's house a house of trade, but make it a place where we can worship. Today, as you look at this scripture, as you think on what it is, know that you, if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, have the temple of the Holy Spirit living within you. And if God at some point in time has to bring the whip out, know that he's not going to hit you. But sometimes he needs to do that in order to get us to think again and think, what am I doing? Am I being holy with the temple that God has given to be. We need to be careful in God's house. We need to be careful in how we go about living this Christian life. And may we be like the disciples. In verse 22, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this passage today that we were able to look at. I pray that you would help us. Help us to know that your temple is right here. Your temple is within sight of us. And as we walk out through the doors today, I pray that we would be representatives of yours. God, if there's somebody here today that has never accepted you and needs you as their personal Savior, and they need the Holy Spirit living inside of them, I pray that they would say yes to you and they would walk in that way. And then, Lord, the rest of us, I pray that you would help us to make sure that our temples are clean, that our temples are righteous, and may you root out the things that are not. Thank you, God, for your love for us. I pray that you would go before us this week, that you would give us your strength and your encouragement, that you would guide each footstep, and may you give us the peace that surpasses all understanding. We love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.